Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you what's doing in Western Michigan. What's doing in Western Michigan? A transcribed roundup of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan, as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. Well, tomorrow is election day in Michigan. A number of state officials are to be elected, and there are contests for city and township offices in many localities. In the townships, a town meeting is supposed to be held, according to the law. But as the Vicksburg Commercial remarked last week, these town meetings in many townships are little more than a formality, attended by only a few people. In a few places, however, the town meeting is still a place where all citizens meet, discuss their common affairs, and make decisions on local matters. One of these places is Waukeshma Township in Kalamazoo County. Here on town meeting day, the women of the township always serve a dinner at noon, and the town meeting is held right afterward. Needless to say, there's always a good attendance. To bring you the flavor of an old-fashioned town meeting, we're going to have our WKZO microphone at this Waukeshma town meeting tomorrow, and then we're going to bring you what goes on in a broadcast Tuesday evening, April 5th at 7 o'clock. Arrangements for this broadcast have been made in cooperation with the Vicksburg Commercial. Important local issues are to be voted on in many parts of Western Michigan. The people of Charlotte will decide on whether to adopt a pension plan for city employees, according to the Charlotte Republican Tribune. In Owego County, there's a hot issue whether to permit the sale of beer and wine on Sunday. The Wets, in an advertisement in the Owego Republican, claim that the adoption of Sunday prohibition would hurt the tourist business. Marshall is going to vote on whether to levy 0.3 mill tax to support a municipal ban, says the Marshall Evening Chronicle. The Three Rivers Commercial reports that the people of St. Joseph County will vote on a special tax levy to repair the bridges in the county. Among the cities in which spirited contests for municipal offices will reach a climax tomorrow are Sturgis, Coldwater, Marshall, Hastings, Holland, Ionia, and Greenville. And over in Allegan, there's a particularly bitter fight over city offices. Holland's Mayor Bernard Dupree resigned last week because of his decision to move to the West Coast. But time will not permit his post to be filled in tomorrow's election, says the Holland Evening Sentinel. We get about 40 newspapers each week in the WKZO newsroom from Western Michigan towns and cities. You might be interested to know that there's not one among them which supports the Democratic Party. A number are neutral, the rest are Republican. In many newspapers last week, there were articles and editorials urging the voters to get out and cast their ballots tomorrow. Said editor J.M. Grimm of the Stanton Clipper Herald, "The only way that we can escape coming under the tyranny of a dictatorship is for us to practice intelligent self-government. The people who stay home from the polls on election day are doing more to destroy democratic government in this country than all of the communists." The Vicksburg Community School District is in the process of conducting a mail referendum to determine which of two proposed sites to select for the new school building, says the Vicksburg Commercial. Two changes in school leadership were reported this week. The Galesburg Argus tells that George Long, superintendent of the Augusta School for the past 3 years, has resigned to accept the superintendency at Grass Lake. The Charlotte Republican Tribune says that Clark Muma will succeed Jay Dykehouse as superintendent in that city next year. Mr. Muma is an alumnus of Western Michigan College and has been in the Charlotte School since 1944. Mr. Dykehouse has served as superintendent there since 1928. One of the qualifications for being superintendent of schools was emphasized in a letter written by a little girl in the third grade of the Ellis School near Belding last week. The Belding Banner News tells that this little girl addressed a note to Mr. Williams, manager of the Ellis School, and said she was very glad that he was manager because he could fix roller skates so well. The Coloma schools are going to have their spring vacation this week, and the Coloma Courier tells that the senior class over there is going to enjoy a trip to the nation's capital during the week. Many of the newspapers during the past fortnight have reported damage done with grass fires. Fire departments have been called out repeatedly to extinguish grass fires that have gotten out of control. You're supposed to get permission to start a grass fire, you know. The South Haven Daily Tribune reported a grass fire south of Bangor, which swept over a 70-acre tract before it could be stopped, endangering several homes. And the Marshall Evening Chronicle told that 17-year-old Robert Murray received serious burns last Monday afternoon when he used gasoline and oil to start a brush fire. There seems to be quite a lot of scarlet fever in the area this spring. The State Health Department says the disease is spreading at the rate of 450 cases a week. The Marcellus News reported 21 cases in Cass County last week. Speaking of public health, several Western Michigan citizens are leading a drive to secure more state aid for county health departments. Mayor Charles Leonard of Hastings was chairman of a recent conference on the subject, says the Hastings Banner. Leonard states that the state now contributes only $200,000 a year to county health departments, and that Michigan is surpassed by 29 other states in the amount of state aid to local health departments. Well, now here are some of the stories from the news. The best story of the week, I think, comes from South Haven, and was reported by the South Haven Daily Tribune. After many months of agitation, red blinker lights were installed at a corner in South Haven where school children cross. Obviously, the lights mean that the cars must stop. Well, Mayor Lawrence drove out there to see whether the motorists were obeying the sign, and he found that it was being disregarded. So he got hold of Officer Les Burrows and demanded action. He got it. The first car to get a ticket was driven by his son, Fred. His Honor swallowed his discontent, grated his teeth, and told the officer to keep up his work. Next day, he drove out to see how things were going, and while he was there, the officer pinched Charles Tate for running the light. And Tate is the sole candidate to succeed Lawrence as mayor at tomorrow's election. The Coldwater Daily Reporter indicates that the local fire laddies have been rather busy in that city. Seems the Neiman twins had the flu, and the doctor had ordered the room in which they slept vaporized. The parents attempted to accomplish this by boiling water in an electric coffee pot. Well, the pot got overheated, burned a hole in the floor, and the whole house filled with smoke. Fortunately, the smoke was discovered. It was 4:50 in the morning. The siren screamed and the whole neighborhood turned out. The fire was extinguished. The twins? Why, they never woke up during the whole fracas. Another alarm the other day called the Coldwater Fire Department to put out a fire in a doghouse. The Athens Times brings us the tidings that a local resident named E.T. Bonnet has used the same razor for 46 years, thus beating the story that Ripley tells in his Believe It or Not by 3 years. We were intrigued by the name of a community near Lake Odessa, of which Mrs. Carol Livingston is the reporter for the Lake Odessa Wave. The name of the community? Pinhook. Now for the news from the area north of Kalamazoo. The Lakeview Record tells that that town has a new postmaster in the person of Max E. Woodard, succeeding Glenn Wood, who has held the post since 1940. The Greenville Daily News had an excellent feature story last week with pictures about Vern E. Johnson's sugar bush. The same tract of maples has been producing sap for 43 years. Johnson makes between 300 and 400 gallons of maple syrup each spring. And speaking of maple syrup, the Nashville News tells that that village has made $1,500 this year from its municipal maple syrup project. The trees in the village are tapped, and then the syrup is made by local citizens for the profit of some community enterprise. This year's take is going to go to buy lights for the athletic field. The town of Vermontville is going to have its maple syrup festival again this year. The date is next Saturday. Among the honored guests is going to be Governor Williams. The Ionia Sentinel Standard tells that Ionia County is the first in the nation where orange roadside reflectors have been installed to mark no passing zones. The Lowell Board of Trade holds its annual banquet next Tuesday evening, with Dr. Louis Albee of East Grand Rapids as speaker, says the Lowell Ledger. Folks up north of Kalamazoo will also be interested in the fact that Congressman Gerald Ford and Congressman Potter will be heard in a broadcast on the lawmakers over WKZO this afternoon at 4:30. The Cedar Springs Clipper reports that the local Chamber of Commerce is putting on a determined effort to get a new post office for Cedar Springs. The Rockford Register tells that the local Rotary Club and high school organization sponsored last week a career day for high school seniors there. Experts to counsel students on 33 different vocations and representatives of 14 colleges were present. Three nearby high schools sent their seniors to the conference, Sparta, Cedar Springs, and Comstock Park. Rockford is part of a circuit. These counselors go around and visit Fremont, Hart, Rockford, and Big Rapids on consecutive days. Last week at Woodland in Berry County, 92 students staged a walkout in protest against the action of the school board in not renewing the contracts of two members of the teaching staff. The president of the school board dubbed the action as a wildcat affair, prompted by certain dissatisfied parents. According to the Hastings Banner, the circulation of books by the local school and public libraries numbered over 39,000 last year, giving Hastings the rank of third place in the state among cities having populations from 5 to 10,000. East Lansing was first and Coldwater was second. Well, we've heard a lot about war brides since the end of World War II, but the Waterbleat record reminds us that there were some World War I war brides, too. Mrs. Lydia Harper, who was one of them, has lived in Waterbleat now for 30 years. The Allegan News tells that Donald Kiger, scout executive for the Allegan Ottawa Boy Scout Council, has resigned. The Allegan Gazette reports plans for a thorough and more effective control of juvenile traffic violators in Allegan are being worked out. This is going to involve the revocation of driving privileges for a time for the violators. Now to the area south of Kalamazoo. A Cassopolis youth has been honored by the Future Farmers of America organization. John Norton was elected president of the state association at the state convention at East Lansing recently. The Cassopolis Exchange Club also honored John by selecting him last week as Boy of the Month, says the Cassopolis Vigilant. We hear that the Marcellus Veterans Association has contracted for the construction of a sizable log building as a clubhouse at the South Village limits. News was in the Marcellus News. The Three Rivers Commercial tells that the fires in the steam power plant at International Paper Company were pulled last week. After 30 years of continuous operation, the plant will give way to oil-operated heating and power equipment. This plant has operated the city fire whistle, too. Now the siren on the municipal building is going to be the only signal for fires in Three Rivers. Coldwater is getting ready for a final salute to its championship basketball team. An all-sports banquet honoring the school's football and basketball teams will be held next Tuesday evening with Wally Weber of the University of Michigan as chief speaker, says the Coldwater Daily Reporter. And speaking of sports, the reporter tells that 40 people from Branch County met last Friday night to organize a boating club. Says the article, this movement is in line with a trend throughout the country towards small boating clubs. It has been brought about by a tremendously increased interest in small boating and by a nationwide feeling that outboard boating has reached a degree of maturity that requires organized action for its advancement and protection. The Lawton Leader reprints a piece written by Don Cochran for the Hartford Dayspring, in which the writer bemoans the passing of real stone-ground buckwheat flour and real homemade salt-rising bread. Comments editor Lewis of the Lawton Leader, we can understand Don's longing, but then there are other things that do not seem as appetizing as when we were a boy. Watermelons were sweeter, and we have yet to find an apple equal in flavor to those from the old Rambo or Red Astrakhan trees. It seems that walking to school, getting in firewood, and doing other chores made food taste better in those earlier days. Now here's Alan Cook with a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll return next Sunday at this same time with another edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and What's Doing in Western Michigan.